Starting a business can seem like a daunting task, unless you have a partner like Shopify. They have the tools you need to start and grow your business. From designing a website to marketing to selling and beyond, Shopify can help with everything you need. There's a reason millions of companies like Mattel, Heinz, and Allbirds continue to trust and use them. With Shopify on your side, turn your big business idea into sign up for your $1 per month trial at shopify.com/special offer.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. On Cars.com, you can shop over 2 million cars. That means over 2 million new car possibilities, like making space for your growing family, becoming the type of person who takes spontaneous weekend camping trips, or upgrading your commute. Wherever life takes you next, or whoever you're looking to be, there's a car for that on Cars.com. Visit Cars.com to discover your next possibility.
Welcome to the podcast where we delve into the darkest corners of the Midlands, uncovering chilling tales of crime. From the bustling streets of Birmingham to the serene landscapes of Derbyshire, we're on a mission to unravel the mysteries behind these shocking murder cases. So if you're ready to explore the who, what, and why behind these jaw-dropping cases, then stick around. This is Midlands Murder Files. Welcome to Series 4 of Midlands Murder Files. In this series, we'll be delving into cases where digital evidence proved key in securing convictions and offering a fascinating look at how technology has transformed crime solving. Before we jump into the story, if you enjoy this episode, or any episode for that matter, I'd really appreciate it if you could leave a rating or review on your podcast app. As an independent podcaster, your support goes a long way in helping me reach more listeners. That's the self-promotion out of the way. Let's get into the story. The following story contains details of violence and tragic loss, which may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. From our last episode in Tipton, we now take a short 8-mile journey across the West Midlands to Winston Green. Winston Green is a loosely defined inner city area located about 3 miles west of Birmingham city centre. The area boasts a rich industrial history, once home to factories and local coal mines that played a pivotal role in Birmingham's 19th century expansion. However, the decline of Birmingham's industrial economy in the early 1980s significantly impacted Winton Green, leading to widespread social deprivation. One of its streets, James Turner Street, gained national attention in 2014 when it was featured in the Channel 4 documentary Benefit Street, where the media reported that 90% of residents were claiming benefits. Today, Winton Green is known for its diverse population, with substantial Afro-Caribbean and Asian communities. The area has also seen some change, with urban regeneration projects taking place in recent years. Winton Green is also home to HMP Birmingham, one of the UK's largest prisons, and this was the place where serial killer Fred West was held on remand for much of 1994. West took his own life in his cell on the 1st of January 1995, before he could stand trial. It's December 2020. Ariana Grande holds the top spot on the UK singles chart with Positions. Tottenham Hotspur are leading the Premier League during the delayed 2020-21 season. And with only selected cinemas open, the 1990 festive classic Home Alone tops the box office. On Friday the 4th of December 2020, a biting winter wind swept through Summerfield Park in Winton Green. Under the grey afternoon sky, the cold air cut through sharply, making the recorded 5-degree temperature feel even harsher. England had just exited another national COVID-19 lockdown, but the new tiered system meant public spaces were often empty. The park, usually a peaceful haven for locals, was eerily quiet. Its paths deserted, save for the occasional rustle of wind through the bare trees. It was the kind of afternoon that made even the most familiar places seem distant and strange. Just before 2:30 p.m, 29-year-old Sahail Ali arrived outside the park's Dudley Road entrance. The biting wind and cold didn't bother him. His mind was focused on the meeting ahead. He was there to meet a girl he had been chatting with online. The day before, Sahail had been scrolling through Instagram when a particular profile caught his attention. It belonged to a 17-year-old girl whose photos intrigued him enough to send a private message. At first, their exchange was friendly and light-hearted, but Sahail soon tested the waters with more suggestive messages. There was a pause in her response. His heart raced. Had he gone too far? Then the reply came, and it didn't feel like rejection. It was almost encouraging. The next exchange was more explicit. Sahail, now eager, suggested they meet in person. His excitement grew with each passing message, but there was that nagging voice in the back of his mind, whispering doubts. What if it was all fake? What if he was being set up? But then, as quickly as those thoughts appeared, he dismissed them, convincing himself he was being paranoid. To make sure things felt more legitimate, he moved the conversation to WhatsApp. They continued exchanging messages until 2 p.m. that afternoon, when Sahail left his Birmingham home. They had agreed to meet at Summerfield Park. CCTV footage later captured Sahail arriving at the Dudley Road entrance to Summerfield Park, his eyes scanning the empty surroundings, searching for any sign of the girl. He waited nervously, with his breath visible in the cold air. A few minutes later, she appeared, and the two exchanged a brief, cautious greeting before walking into the park together. It's unclear what was said between them, but Sahail's growing doubts resurfaced at some point. A sense of unease prickled at him, and he abruptly left the park, questioning the authenticity of the girl. His suspicions flared, but she quickly persuaded him to return, assuring him that she still wanted to continue with their encounter. Despite her words, a knot tightened in Sahail's stomach as he walked back into the park. The doubts that had initially gnawed at him now surged with greater intensity. He couldn't shake the feeling that something was horribly amiss. But by then, it was too late. Without warning, two hooded figures wearing face masks emerged from the shadows, blocking his path. One of the men held a gun in one hand and a large kitchen knife in the other. The air seemed to freeze as Sahail's breath caught in his throat as his heart pounded wildly in his chest. Then, without hesitation, the man with the gun raised it and fired several times. The sharp, deafening noise of the shots split the cold air, and in a moment of pure terror, Sahail dropped to the ground, instinctively trying to shield himself from danger. But Sahail didn't realise there were no bullets. It was a blank firing pistol, designed to mimic the sound of a firearm without causing harm. Sahail's terrified reaction, collapsing to the ground, was exactly what they had been waiting for. The man swapped the gun for the knife and lunged at Sahail. The blade ripped through his clothes, each strike landing with deadly accuracy. The scene was so distressing for the girl that she ran off, appearing to fear for her life. Sahail, his body racked with pain, flailed and fought back with what little strength he had left, but the attacker showed no mercy. 7 vicious stabs pierced his upper body, each blow more brutal than the last, until the onslaught finally ceased. As the masked duo began to walk away, Sahail, through sheer determination, miraculously managed to rise to his feet and tried to run towards safety. Despite his crippling injuries, he was driven by the desire to save his life. But when the man saw Sahail attempt to flee, he fired the pistol once more, the sound of the shot ringing through the air. Sahail crumpled to the ground, unable to continue his desperate escape. And this time, he wouldn't get up. The police arrive swiftly, their attention drawn by frantic calls from passers-by, reporting gunshots echoing through the park. By this point, the duo were gone. Paramedics were next to arrive. On the cold ground, they found Sahail clinging to his life, his clothes soaked with blood. Though conscious, his breath was shallow and his strength was fading. The urgency was palpable. Every second counted. Sahail was rushed to hospital, where doctors uncovered the devastating extent of his injuries. The blade had punctured his heart, fractured his breastbone, and caused catastrophic internal damage. The final stab had been so ferocious that as the attacker withdrew the knife, the handle broke off, leaving the blade embedded in Sahail's chest. Surgeons fought valiantly, working through the night to save him, but the damage was too severe. In the early hours of the following day, Sahail succumbed to his injuries, his life slipping away despite every effort to pull him back. Back at the scene, police faced a perplexing and horrifying puzzle. A fatal stabbing in broad daylight was rare enough to rattle even seasoned investigators. The reports of gunfire added a baffling layer to the crime. There were no bullet fragments to be found. How could multiple witnesses hear gunshots, yet the victim bears no bullet wounds? As dawn broke over Birmingham, officers combed through Summerfield Park, searching for anything that might provide clues. But every step raised more questions than answers. What had drawn Sahail to the park that day? Who could have orchestrated such a calculated attack? As the investigation began to take shape, detectives quickly realised that the answers they sought were not buried in the park, but hidden in the digital trail Sahail had left behind. Every message he sent, every profile he interacted with, and every app he used could hold the key to the truth. Somewhere within Sahail's digital footprint lay the breadcrumbs that would lead them to his killers, and the full scope of their sinister plan. I will quickly pause here for messages from this episode's sponsors.
On WhatsApp, no one can see or hear your personal messages. Whether it's a voice call, message, or sending a password. To WhatsApp, it's all just this. So whether you're sharing the streaming password in the family chat or trading those late-night voice messages that could basically become a podcast, your personal messages stay between you, your friends, and your family. No one else. Not even us. WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone.
The killing of Sahail Ali in broad daylight left police grappling with a disturbing lack of physical evidence. DNA swabs taken from his body yielded no matches when cross-referenced with the national database, and despite the violent nature of the attack, there were no signs left behind that could identify the assailant. No witnesses had come forward to shed light on the attack, and the park itself, eerily deserted at the time, offered no obvious clues. It was as though the attackers had melted into the shadows. In their search for leads, detectives examined Sahail's bank records. These revealed he had withdrawn a significant sum of money from an ATM in Winston Green at around 2 p.m. on the day of the attack. This raised the possibility that he had been targeted for a mugging, a theory that momentarily offered a motive for the crime. But as investigators delved deeper, the pieces just didn't align. Sahail still had the cash on him when paramedics arrived. Moreover, the sheer violence of the assault made it clear they were dealing with something far more sinister than a simple mugging gone wrong. Faced with this troubling dead end, detectives turned to a vital piece of evidence, Sahail's phone. In the absence of physical leads, it became their most significant thread to follow. After analysing his WhatsApp messages, a name quickly emerged, Rimsha Tariq. At just 17 years old, she was an unexpected figure in a case of such brutality, yet her connection to Sahail was undeniable. Tracing their conversation history, investigators discovered that Sahail had initiated contact with Tariq through an Instagram direct message. What began as a light-hearted, flirtatious exchange soon escalated into more suggestive topics. By the time they arranged to meet, Sahail's tone had become increasingly assertive, even sexually aggressive. While their interaction was entirely within the bounds of the law, the dynamic raised alarm bells. The age difference and the tone of the messages suggested a situation that could have made Tariq feel uncomfortable. CCTV footage from the cameras overlooking the park's entrance confirmed that Sahail had met Tariq outside the park shortly before reports of gunshots were heard. They entered the park together, but a short while later, Tariq was seen leaving the park alone. With this evidence, Tariq was promptly flagged as a person of interest. Upon being brought in for questioning, however, she remained tight-lipped, refusing to cooperate or shed any lights on the events, leading to Sahail's death. Detectives were convinced that Tariq's role in the crime was pivotal, but they also suspected she hadn't acted alone. These suspicions were bolstered by CCTV footage showing two masked individuals leaving the park through another exit, fist bumping each other in what appeared to be a celebratory gesture. Determined to uncover more, investigators turned to Tariq's phone, which was seized and handed over to the digital forensics team. Their analysis yielded a crucial breakthrough. Among Tariq's WhatsApp messages were group chats that painted a disturbing picture. She had been in regular communication with two other individuals, 17-year-olds Danish Mansha and Diane Arif. Convinced that Mansha and Arif were the two men captured on CCTV, police quickly arrested the pair. But like Tariq, both teenagers refused to answer any questions about what had happened in the park. Further evidence was uncovered from their mobile phones. Although some of the messages and data had been deleted, the digital forensics team recovered enough data to place all three teenagers in the vicinity of Somerville Park at the time of the attack. Confident that they had amassed sufficient digital evidence, the police submitted a case to the Crown Prosecution Service proposing murder charges for all three teenagers under the principle of joint enterprise. On Thursday the 10th of December, the CPS approved the charges and Tariq, Mansha and Arif were formally charged with Sahail's murder. The trio appeared at Birmingham Magistrates Court, where they were remanded in custody, awaiting further proceedings. Although Mansha and his co-defendants continued to deny the murder charge, he admitted to possessing an offensive weapon in a public place during the pre-trial review on Friday the 19th of February 2021. It wouldn't be until the trial commenced at Coventry Crown Court in September 2021 that the full details surrounding Sahail's death were revealed. Evidence presented in court revealed that Tariq had shared screenshots of Sahail's increasingly explicit messages with Mansha and Arif. Tariq's initial reaction had been to block Sahail, cutting off all contact. However, Mansha, incensed by what he perceived as inappropriate behaviour, dismissed this idea. "What he is doing is wrong," Mansha told her, "and he needs to be taught a lesson." Encouraged by Mansha, Tariq continued to engage with Sahail, playing along with his messages and eventually arranging to meet him at Somerville Park. Behind the scenes, Mansha and Arif began planning an ambush. On the day of the attack, Mansha armed himself with a starter pistol and a knife taken from his kitchen. Both he and Arif dressed entirely in black, pulling their hoods up and wearing gloves and face masks. During the COVID-19 pandemic, face masks were commonplace, allowing the pair to move about without arousing suspicion. The pair hid in the park, watching the Dudley Road entrance for Tariq's arrival. As Sahail drew closer, they prepared to strike. What followed was the calculated and brutal attack, the full horror of which would be recounted in court. Due to numerous delays caused by the pandemic, the trial lasted 10 weeks before the jury reached its verdict. Mansha and Tariq were found guilty of murder, while Arif was acquitted of murder but convicted of manslaughter. Sentencing took place at Birmingham Crown Court on Thursday the 4th of November 2021. Addressing Mansha directly, Judge Simon Drew QC said, "You formed a plan to lure Sir Hale to Summerfield Park in Winton Green, where you intended to confront him with a knife, stab him and seriously injure him. No doubt you intended to teach him a lesson, but your plan was entirely unjustified. You told Tariq of your plan and used your influence over her to persuade her to go along with it. You took the lead and recruited both Tariq and Arif to help you. Tariq was a vulnerable young woman whom you manipulated at will." While Judge Drew acknowledged that the crime bore the hallmarks of naivety and bravado rather than cold-blooded intent, he noted that Mansha had become carried away in the frenzy of the attack. "On the way out, the two of you performed a fist bump, which confirmed that when you attacked Sir Hale, you were acting together. And afterwards, you had no remorse for what you had just done. It was a premeditated and carefully planned attack. Sir Hale was deliberately lured to Summerfield Park. You ambushed him, fired the gun to frighten him, and attacked him while he was unarmed and defenceless on the ground. You carried out this attack in a public park, in the middle of the day, in the view of passers-by. Afterwards, you left the park, did not call emergency services, and abandoned Sir Hale to die." Mansha, also convicted of possessing a bladed weapon, received a life sentence with a minimum tariff of 19 years. Tariq received a life sentence with a minimum term of 9 years for her role, while Arif was handed a 3.5-year sentence for manslaughter. Following the sentencing, Detective Inspector Laura Harrison of West Midlands Police, who led the investigation, said, "This case is deeply tragic. It was a completely senseless attack that took a life and forever changed 3 others. My officers have worked tirelessly on this case. Although today's verdict can never bring Sir Hale back, I am pleased we were able to secure justice for him and his family. My thoughts are with them at this time." Sir Hale's family released a statement expressing their grief. "We're pleased the defendants were found guilty and sentenced for the brutal crime they committed. Sadly, nothing can bring Sir Hale back to us. He was murdered needlessly. His life has been stolen from him. The pain we suffer from his loss is overwhelming. He will forever remain in our hearts." As the trial concluded, Sir Hale Ali's senseless death serves as a reminder of how a single reckless act can devastate countless lives. Yet it's also a chilling testament to the power of our digital footprints. In this case, it was mobile phone records, WhatsApp messages, and CCTV footage that revealed the truth behind the crime, proving that our phones are not just communication tools, but silent witnesses to our every move. This tragedy underscores how easily technology can track our whereabouts, capturing even the smallest details of our lives. And in the end, it was this digital trail that brought justice for Sir Hale. But it also raises a vital question. How aware are we of the traces we leave behind in the digital world? So what are your thoughts on this week's story? Please let me know by commenting on the episode threads on Instagram and Facebook. As ever, if you have any cases that you would like me to cover in a future episode, please send me a direct message with the details. Thank you for listening. See you soon. Thank you all for tuning in to this episode of Midlands Murder Files. If you enjoyed the show, I would really appreciate it if you could consider leaving us a 5-star review on your favourite podcast platform and following us on Instagram for further content. Join us for the next episode as we continue our journey through the mysteries of the Midlands. Thanks for being part of the story. Until next time.
Mom, Dad, I humbly suggest you save some money and shop Amazon for back to school. It's for my growth, meaning my body's growing at an alarming rate. And clothes you buy me this year will be very small very soon. Plus, the clothes I love today will be out of style tomorrow. But at least your wallet doesn't have to be my fashion victim if you shop low prices for school at Amazon. Hopefully this is helpful. Amazon. Spend less, smile more.